is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, welcome in H-Town.
What's happening, Houston? You know what it is. You know what it do. You know what this is. Maybe you don't.
Maybe you don't.
This is the HD show. We are filling in for The Bench. That's my man, Freddie D. I'm Henry Thomas. We got John back there working the boards for us. We are excited to be here. It's early in the morning.
It is early in the morning.
Hey.
It is early in the morning.
I don't know if y'all ready for this kind of this cup of joe. We're about to give you a jolt.
Listen, I hope you guys are having a wonderful post-Christmas, almost end of 2020 as we get ready to put a bow on 2020. We're just a few days away from ending. I saw, and listen, man, it's going to get hyperbolic over the next few days, okay, as people wrap up 2020 and use all the terms and qualifiers and descriptors to talk about what a phenomenal event 2020 was. I was watching Fox the other day as I was watching one of the pro games, and the announcer promoting the New Year's Eve, the most important New Year's Eve broadcast in mankind's history. Wow. Think about that for a second, folks. This New Year's Eve, when you're going out, all right, and all you fellas and even the ladies out there, all right, when you're looking for that New Year's Eve kiss, when you're looking to, you know, try to seal the deal to get your 2021 off to a solid start, just tell them, baby, this is the most important New Year's Eve in mankind's history, okay? Think about that when you clang them champagne glasses Thursday night.
It's just like the 2000. Oh, everything going to shut
Y2K
down.
Y2K all over again.
We're going to lose it.
Seriously.
Come on.
Y2K.
Give me a break.
All over again. Welcome to the program, boys and girls. John Belmer on the 1-2s.
And 3s.
I'm your boy, Fred Davis. And that gentleman to my right, all he did was spend 14 years starting in the National Football League. Two-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. 93.
And a half.
Career sacks, the most ever by a nose tackle in the history of the National Football League. A Bayou Bengal, over 1,000 career tackles. An Eisenhower Eagle.
Swoop, swoop.
And the pride. Of the fo-fo, the one, the only, Mr. Henry Thomas.
What's up, Houston? Look, like I said earlier, give you a little fire, give you a little jolt. And I know everybody's talking. We got a lot to get into. Fred's got a rundown for us that's pretty exciting.
Well, I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a Monday, and a lot of you guys are expecting John and Lance today. They took some time off. It's the final.
I know you guys been pumping them up so much. They've been doing
rightfully
all
so.
That, and they was like, you know what? We're going to take the week off.
They're taking the week off. Well, actually, Lance, who we ran into Saturday, we were doing some Sports Map radio, will be here in the building. He's taking the time off to double down on draft prep.
See?
Okay. So
working
so
hard.
So he's working. We know John Granato's off doing John Granato-type things, which – you know, we may or may not be able to talk about on air, so you just never know. So, again, we'll be here till Thursday, and I want to say on Friday it'll be all network radio for you. So, yeah, it's a little HD show. Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, for anybody that's been listening to sports radio here in Houston for any amount of time, you've probably run across us at least once, maybe twice, who knows, even thrice in your sports radio listening habits. There you go. All right, so I'm struggling mightily with this microphone condom, which
just,
may or may not have something to do in real life.
Apart.
That's it? That's all it does?
Yeah, like that. And then you, oh, wow.
Okay. All right. We'll try that during the break.
We wonder why you have, you have
two kids. Two women?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Now you guys know. Now you guys know, okay? Now it all makes sense. Stop me if you've heard this before. Texans lost. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Heard it.
Texans losers yesterday go down to the Bengals, who I didn't know Brandon Allen was Boomer Esiason from the mid-'80s, for crying out loud. Good God.
Boomer wasn't that good anyways.
Well, he may not have been, but I'm going to tell you what. Had he played the Texans defense,
yeah,
he might have looked like a Hall of Famer, because that's what they made Brandon Allen look like yesterday.
Yeah. Then it would defensively, the team needs a rehaul. I agree with everything I heard about, you know, from JJ. From
we're going to get to him.
Yeah, we're going to get to him.
He ran it again.
He ran it, and rightfully so.
You know? Was it rightfully so?
Did you not watch the game? No, I mean, watched the Chiefs game. Sorry.
Oh, no, no, I flipped back. I watched both. I watched both. We'll get to the we'll talk AFC playoffs. We'll talk NFC playoffs. Listen, we got a lot to get to today. It's clearly we're going to talk plenty of Texans. We're not going to go in the weeds on what we saw yesterday. I mean, if y'all want to, you're more than welcome to call in. I mean, we may let you talk. We may. I mean, if you start getting too, I mean, I tell you what, our boy Manny Fresh tweeted this out last night, and I get it. Listen, it's sports radio, so we got to say something. What is there left to say that hasn't already been said about this Texans football team? All right, and we're not going to – here's the deal. I'm not going to – we're going to focus on this week when it comes to talking to the Texans. We're going to get some folks on from around the country, get their thoughts on the Texans head coaching job, the Texans GM job, all right? And, again, we get it. It's Houston. Everybody's been – I mean, we've been talking about the head coaching job and the GM job for, what, 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks now. So I get it, all right? I'm not going to sit here I mean, we know who the usual suspects are at this stage of the game.
Right.
All right, as far as who people want. All right, for me, if I'm a Texans fan, and not even being a Texans fan, we do the Texans podcast, the Believe in Texans podcast. Check it out over at believe.com. To me, and GM-wise, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some GM nerd, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say 99% of you guys that are listening to this right now aren't either. Okay? I know it's cool to say, hey, let's go get Lewis Riddick because you watched him on TV. All right?
Yeah.
Before we start going down the Lewis Riddick train, and you and I will get into this probably an hour two or hour three, and like I said, we want welcome up. We're going to open up the phone lines as well, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. GM's one of those positions that people get excited about simply because we all want to be GMs in real life, okay? Because you run a I mean, because we all do fantasy football,
fantasy
all right?
Football,
and you're
exactly.
Over here doing your damn monkey knife fight, which if y'all ain't on that monkey knife fight yet, I strongly urge you to jump on board with that. Henry Thomas has driven both me and him crazy with these damn I'm stressed out about monkey knife fight. I don't even have any money on these damn things. But we'll talk about that later in the program.
Fun.
No, it absolutely is. It definitely adds some fun to watching it. But the GM thing is just, I mean, at the end of the day, how many people here really know GM candidates? I mean, how many people here outside of the Texans really focus on, because you know the names, because you know the Jamie Roots of the world? You couldn't, I promise you, 95% of people in this city right now couldn't name the Texans cap guy if he came up and slapped him in the face. Probably don't even know his name. Actually, I think he got fired at the beginning of the year, before the around the same time. Okay, I think our boy Jack Easterby was helped mastermind that plot. May or may not have. I mean, let's go ahead and he gets blamed for everything else. So we
let's
might as well go ahead and blame
it all
him for
on
that.
Him. That's right. We're putting it all on him.
I'm telling you right now, he looked like he drew up. Tell you what, Jack Easterby looks like he's been drawing up the defensive plays the way those guys have looked here the last few weeks. But we'll get to that later on the program as well. So we're going to jump on, like I said, we're going to touch on a little bit of the GM search here because I get it. Everybody wants to jump on the Lewis Riddick train. And aside from him being good on television, I want to hear one person tell me why they want Lewis Riddick. And that's all. I mean, and again, we're going to open it up, 713-780-3776. Other than him being good on television, I want one person to enlighten me on his record and why he's a good hire for the Houston Texans.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay, because as we were talking to our boy Bitter Mike last night, didn't a lot of people like Mike Mayock for a while? Mike Mayock, remember from NFL Network? Guy who had kind of the Jersey accent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. He was on, and he nailed a couple picks, right? Back in the day. All right. Because, again, when you're on TV and you don't have the stressors of a salary cap and all the other headaches that go along and the challenges that go along with being the general manager of an NFL franchise, yes, it's easy to sit back and look good on television. We've seen that.
It happens.
All right. How's those Raiders draft looking the last 2 years? Okay, I'll hang up and listen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the thing is that, how's John Gruden looking right now after taking a 10-year break from football?
Like he's counting his money.
John Gruden is a scam. Okay, John Gruden, remember that Kevin Trudeau guy? Does anybody remember Kevin Trudeau?
Yeah.
He did the infomercials for the longest time, and then he was pitching minerals that you could rub on your face and cancer would go away. All right. John Gruden is the Kevin Trudeau of the NFL.
Okay. Harsh. as hard.
Well, he is. I mean, listen, the Raiders are garbage and are no better now 3 years later than they were when he got there 3 years ago. So my point in all this is, when the Texans decide to make this head coach and this GM hire, all right, I don't want somebody who's good simply because he sounds good on television.
Okay.
All right. The guys go to TV for a reason.
Because they're good at it.
Okay.
And they're selling a product. They're selling themselves.
How many times Bill Cowher come back? Okay. Bill Cowher, people forget, much like my old adage, people forget CeeLo was actually a founding member of Goody Mob. All right. Okay. Right. That analogy. People forget. My kid today, 13 years old, has no idea Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
All right. When you grow up watching that CBS show, you have no idea that Bill Cowher. When guys go to TV, they do it for a reason.
Yeah.
It's the old adage. Those who can't teach.
Right.
Those who do.
Right.
I'm just wondering why with Lewis Riddick, all right, and again, I'm not saying he's not a good candidate. I'm not saying he's a great candidate. I myself, a guy who is sharp, okay? No doubt about it. You listen to him talk on television, and you hear the way he breaks things down. Hey, this guy's got something going for him. But I also look at the fact that, you know, he worked for both the Eagles and the quote-unquote the football team.
Yes.
Leaves in 2013. Hadn't gotten scratched. And again, maybe he got some calls here and there, but we know this much. He hasn't worked in football in 7 years. Okay?
And that's the only name we've heard.
Well, it's not that that's the only name we've heard, but I'm just saying Lewis Riddick is one of the more fancier names we've heard. Who knows what they've done behind the scenes? Okay, I'm sure there's been a few names, you know, thrown out there. But again, here's the reality of it. If they did, all right, if they go and interview the player personnel guy from the Chiefs, do you know who that is? Of course you don't.
Of course I don't.
Okay? No, I mean, most people don't. I only do because I looked it up last night. We got our boy John B. working the 1-2s.
And 3.
That's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. We want your phone calls and more. 713-780-3776. We got a couple folks ready to chime in already. 713-780-3776. All right, this hour, it's going to be all Texas this first hour. Three things we liked from yesterday, three things we didn't like from yesterday. JJ doing JJ type things. And one thing that I saw yesterday that should have the entire staff just go ahead and relieve them of their duties, and let's go ahead and let Evan Rothstein make the calls. What do I mean? I'll tell you what I mean next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Bench, HD show style, on a Monday morning.
Everyone falls down sometimes, but you just gotta know it'll all be fine.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sitting here trying to get to you, baby, baby.
My boy, who is this?
It's your boy.
Oh.
Schoolboy Q.
What's his name?
Schoolboy Q.
Schoolboy Q!
Schoolboy Q.
Schoolboy Q.
So you just had to come up with a name like that?
No, Schoolboy Q is good.
Do they give you that name?
Schoolboy Q, I like Schoolboy Q. Tell you what.
What else you got?
Oh, he's got his second album. He's got a song with
that guy, Michael Jackson.
Man, it's too early to be talking
Prince.
About. I didn't expect to get quizzed on Schoolboy Q at 7:60. Actually, I didn't, John B. John B., someone to love. That's it. All right, let's real quick. Let's hear what since John wants to give us a call this early in the morning. It's only right.
Yeah, John's up this early.
John is up and at him. There's probably nothing going on at his job today, so he's calling into the program. What's up, John?
I feel fire coming. What we got, John?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, John. You're on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had two little things. Nothing big. Somebody may not have noticed. It's Houston, Texas. They're playing inside the stadium. Why does Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt have knit caps on? And also, all week you've been hearing about the matchup against the Bengals. It's the Bengals. The Bengals are a tiger. The Bengals are a 90s pop group that was terrible. Just wanted to verify that.
It's a solid take by you, John.
John, I like that.
And it is a manic Monday, all right? It is a manic Monday. So
because of the Bengals.
The Bengals. The Bengals versus the Bengals. I like where it's headed. I did notice that they were wearing the knit caps.
I did, too. I saw that.
Stylish, like, man.
Yeah.
It's stylish. It's a style thing, John.
It wasn't stylish, though. It's not like they were cute. Didn't they all have little pom-poms?
They had a little
a fan. On the top. Not a fan.
You're not a fan of them?
Not a fan. I mean, at times, not then. No, not a fan.
You might be a fan if you wore one. Saw how comfortable they are.
I don't think they're comfortable.
They look comfortable. I don't know. See if we can get somebody from the Texans. Jack.
JJ.
Jack, if you're listening, 7-1. We need to get Jack Easterby on the show. What's he doing? I tell you what, here's what we'll do. We'll tell Jack, we'll start the show off with a moment of silence and a prayer, and we'll let him lead it.
The moment of silence?
Bow your heads.
I'm going to lead a moment of silence. Mm. Really?
He started off. That's as religious as I get. So we'll have him do a moment of silence, prayer, and we'll go into it.
And then we'll jump into
it. We're jumping in. Jumping in both feet. Both feet.
Yeah, because
Jack, what's the deal? What's the deal?
Did you?
With all your hullabaloo.
Did you get your boy fired?
I will say this. Okay, so apparently, and I saw this little nugget yesterday as I was doing a little reading on the show. By the way, did you guys realize we're going to do our three good things, three bad things that we liked from yesterday's program here, or from yesterday's ball game yesterday. Texans go down to the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm guessing you guys already knew about that. 37-31, Bengals move to 4-10-1 on the year. Texans fall to 4-11. Mathematically eliminated from the playoff race. Now, granted, they'd already been mathematically eliminated, so we're not shedding any new light there when it comes to your Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson has thrown one interception since week 5.
Really?
I get it. He's not going to win the MVP, but why he's not in the MVP discussion is an injustice.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't mean to throw that word around because obviously social justice has been a big deal in 2020.
Yeah, but usually aren't MVP candidates on good teams?
Usually. But I mean, again, I go back to, and I got to give our boy Bitter Mike credit for this. I want to say it was what, like 03 or something like that, where A-Rod won an MVP for a crappy Dodgers. Or no, he was in the conversation. I think he said Andre Dawson won for a crappy Cubs team back in like the early 80s or something like that, where the team only won 54 games or something. So it's not, again, it's not the norm. But I think in the truest sense of the word or phrase, most valuable player, this team would be historically bad.
Oh, we would be Jets bad.
We'd be worse than the Jets. This team would be worse than the Jets. This team would be worse than Jacksonville. This team would be 0-16 Detroit Lions from a few years ago bad. That's how bad they'd be.
It's not my job to do that.
Well, and clearly, B.O.B., it wasn't your job.
Sure wasn't.
When you look at how you left this program, when you look at what Deshaun Watson's doing and the season he's having with a guy in Tim Kelly who, let's call it what it is, 12, 13 weeks ago, we really didn't know what he did. Like, we really weren't sure 12 weeks ago what Tim Kelly did for this football team. We knew he was the quote-unquote offensive coordinator.
Right.
But when you're coaching along with, you know, B.O. Bizzle, that means nothing.
Well, let me ask you this. Seeing how this team is, you know, future-wise, such disarray, how all that's going, when Bill O'Brien was in charge of it, what do you think he foreseen for the future? Because he's doing all this. What do you think he's seeing for the future if he's got no threat of leaving?
Well, I think it just goes back to kind of there was no checks and balances. So where do you start? Is it the bad contracts he gave out? Is it the leveraging your future for a questionable left tackle? And I'm going to tell you, listen. And for those that haven't heard us before, I'm not here to be Mr. I'm just going to say stuff to go against the grain just for the sake of. I mean, anybody that's listening to me on radio, I've been in this town now for 8-9 years, whatever it's been. Laramie Tunsil is number two or number three on the we're going to do a segment. We got a brand new segment we're breaking out today. Okay, and I need to put some music to it, and we need to get a sounder for it called Fraudulent or For Real.
Okay.
Okay. Fraudulent or For Real. And it's just what it sounds like. I'm going to throw out a name or a phrase or whatever, and you guys simply say fraudulent or for real. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. I'm a radio nerd, okay, and I like to keep things simple.
Okay.
And that's as simple as it gets. It's either fraudulent or for real. So if I say to you, Laramie Tunsil, fraudulent or for real, Henry Thomas, who knows a thing or two about left tackles in the National Football League, who knows a thing or two about good offensive line play, dare I say, knows a thing about Hall of Fame offensive line play. Mm. Gone up against some of the greats in the game in those 14 years starting in the National Football League. So when I tell you Laramie Tunsil, who, oh, by the way, leaves the game yesterday. You've got no Titus Howard as your right tackle. You got no Laramie Tunsil as your left tackle. Raise your hand if you noticed a difference in line
the
play
game
yesterday. Okay,
it was better.
I mean, what does that tell me as a fan, as a person watching, when your two quote unquote bookend tackles are gone, but your offensive line play really doesn't miss a beat?
Didn't miss a beat and actually stepped it up.
Damn, you look better.
Yeah, we got some run plays.
Roderick Johnson, who's been bouncing around. I mean, I've heard the name. I mean, I feel like Roderick Johnson's been with the Texans since the Kubiak days, for crying out loud. That's how long this guy's been around. Okay? Uh-huh. And listen, he gets thrown into the mix at once every four, five, six games.
You're right.
Handles his own. One of these Turd Fergusons at tackles comes back. Roderick goes back to the sideline and does what Roderick does and just waits for the call again.
Right.
Guess what? Guys are gone. Here comes Roderick. Here I come.
Made things happen.
Coming to fill in. Do what I do. What? They're back. So you guys know where to find me.
Yeah, I'll be over here.
I'll be on the sideline chilling.
I'll be reading my playbook. I got it down.
With my mask on. That's it. Okay? Can't have COVID.
Yeah,
I mean, that bewilders me. So when I pose it to you. I pose it to you. Laramie Tunsil, fraudulent or for real? Because guess what? You are missing your top two draft picks in 2021. The most important draft in mankind's history, if you let Fox tell it.
Listen, it's hard. I need more content.
What more do you need? It is what it is, man. You see him out there.
Has a player for real? Because he's a player.
He is for real. I mean,
you know, now if we're gonna put everything that it cost the Texans to get him,
that's
fraudulent.
That's what I'm. And that's if you really break down this Houston Texans football team, right? That's so much of what it is right now.
Right.
Because, again, we're not mad at David Johnson for being a mediocre running back. Okay? We're really not. I mean,
He is what he is.
Anybody that with half a brain, when you saw that move was made for David Johnson, all right, you were thinking, okay, maybe he's got the proverbial chip on his shoulder and he's going to come in guns blazing, all right, because he was saying all the right things on Twitter. And then his body kicked in and was like, oh, wait, this is still the same mediocre guy that he was for 2 years, okay?
Right.
Granted, he goes out there yesterday and shows bursts of speed that I don't think he's seen since probably Northern Iowa, for crying out loud. That we've never seen in a Texans uniform. Right. But it's because of how he arrived here is what we're mad about.
Exactly.
Same thing with Laramie Tunsil. Laramie Tunsil's a good tackle. Is he one of the best in the NFL?
Is he worth the first round
pick? Is he worth what we got him for?
Number one highest paid contract.
713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Coming up next, JJ had something to say. What was it and how do we feel about it? We'll tell you next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back into the first hour of the program. Here on the bench, John is out, little vacay. Lance, little vacay, although he's working, getting his draft bits and pieces and nuggets and all that that goes into, and we're going to have Lance on at some point during the week. I can only imagine, I mean, because you're culling through just gobs of data, gobs of video when you're doing that draft breakdown. And I can only imagine how much. I guess it's twofold. One, it would be a little more difficult this year, I guess, because you got fewer games to sift through. But then it also will be easier. Let's put it this way: it'll be harder to make a definitive decision or call because you've only got a small sample size to look through.
Right.
Whereas if I'm looking at a guy, I would think for the smaller schools, right, that maybe only played four or five games, or maybe didn't play any at all.
Oh, Ohio State.
Okay, Dabo.
I'm just saying.
I tell you what, that guy will throw barbs any chance. Can you tell? I tell you what, say what you want about the SEC. Them boys stick together when it comes to the old foosball.
Hey, what? I mean, when you get
They
like
wanted
that.
To see Jimbo. They wanted to see Jimbo and A&M get into the playoffs. Shout out to my boy John Snyder, big time Aggie.
Yeah,
loves his A&M Aggies. Didn't make it to the playoffs this year, John. John, you know where the Aggies are? Same place as my Jayhawks.
Right.
Not in the bowl. Not in the bowl playoff series. Not in the bowl playoff series. So I just had to harangue him about that.
Give
him a little. You know where my Jayhawks are, though?
Where?
Number three in the country.
Basketball.
Mm. Basketball. Every year, baby, we just reload. We got robbed last year because of COVID. I mean, let's call it what it is. We were well on our way to another national title. Robbed.
Another one.
Oh, another one. Yeah, that's right, DJ Khaled.
How many y'all got? Like eight?
Five.
Five. Okay.
Five.
And the last one was what?
08.
Six,
oh. 08. Yeah, don't try to cut down my Jayhawks.
I'm not. Okay, I was just trying to get the numbers together.
Yeah, where's your LSU team at? How many guys went to the NFL? 75? The
yes,
entire program, everybody but Orgeron.
Exactly
everybody
right.
but Orgeron that's went to the NFL. That's why they're struggling so
that's
much.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you noticed
putting in
that.
A bowl. How are you going to put in a bowl ban when you're not even supposed to be going to a bowl?
Hey.
That's the most LSU thing ever. We're going to impose a bowl ban this year. Imposing a bowl ban.
All that stuff you're saying right there, it just sounds like you're saying they're so genius.
Go Tigers.
Yeah,
oh,
go
man,
Tigers.
I love it. I love it.
You
like
know.
Somebody said, it's the equivalent of the Jets saying, hey, we're going to sit out the Super Bowl this year. No Super Bowl for us.
That's funny.
We have self-imposed some sanctions. The Jets, after some serious deliberation, will not. Look at the Jets, though, turning around, messing around, and winning another game yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Solidly locked in at number two pick.
I'm good with it. You know what this means? That all that tells me is they are A-okay with riding with Sam Darnold.
You got to be.
I like Sam Darnold. I do. I may be in the minority on this, but I've always believed I think Sam Darnold could be a good NFL quarterback. I think he's been put through the ringer in 3 years. I mean, if we've learned anything in the National Football League, you better have some consistency. You better have some, an organizational structure top down where everybody's, in cahoots as opposed to what we've seen here with Houston. And, I'm not one to pat myself on the back.
But we've known
but,
you to do
but
it.
But I will do it. I will do it when it's warranted. We were on this show about a month ago,
okay.
I think. Wasn't it?
About
Thanksgiving.
That.
It was Black Friday. If I'm
yeah.
not, was it Black Friday?
Okay. Get a little twitch with
it. Was. I think it was Black Friday.
I think so.
I think it was. Because we were surprised that it's still called Black Friday. If
we're changing
if,
everything.
If memory serves me
That's
correct.
Right, because they're changing everything.
Well, they got
else.
To. They got to. It's,
you know.
It's racist. What did I say then that I wanted to see Urban Meyer?
Yes, you did.
As an NFL head coach. Story comes out over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
Story comes out over the weekend. Two NFL teams have reached out to Urban Meyer to gauge his interest in whether he wants to take his talents to the next level and coach in the National Football League. He's trying to kind of see where things are at, what he would need to do, how that all would work. I think it's he's only 56. He's only 56 years old.
Hey, that's my age.
There you go. You could coach in the NFL, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
Could I?
Could I?
Could I?
You're ready.
You're done raising kids.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So you ain't got to worry about that.
Nope. Everybody grown.
Everybody's grown. You could literally go coach.
I could do it.
Texans are going to need a D-line coach, too.
We'll see.
Texans are going to need a D-line coach. Kimmy, where's the one they got?
Yeah. Can't. Worse. I know right now, quarter of my salary has a D-line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Going to go to Pete Jenkins. I'm bringing him down. We're going to collaborate together for the whole season.
Why you got to put – see, already thinking – already wrong thought. Don't be taking your money.
Oh, no. I'm taking mine because I'm going to make my group the best.
Well, no, you – I mean, but I'm sure you could – listen, you saw Hannah McClain, okay?
I'm sitting on pause. I'm good.
Hannah McNair. You noticed yesterday she looked a lot more – she was a lot more lively yesterday,
oh, yeah.
A lot more awake.
Camera on, y'all better turn that light on when the camera is on me.
Buzz me or something. We can't have Hannah half asleep when the camera comes on.
Hannah was just
Hannah about six cocktails deep in that fourth quarter.
I don't know if she was
much more.
When are you gonna go and get a coach?
Seriously, all right. You got the JJ Watt audio from yesterday. All right. Maybe you've heard it already. Maybe you haven't. Do you have the bleeped out stuff, too? Because he did say a couple potty words on there.
I think he said one S word, but it was already bleeped out in the.
Oh, was?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Actually, it was two.
It was two. All right. So here's JJ Watt. JJ Watt doing JJ Watt type rants after yesterday's loss to the Bengals.
If you can't come in and put work in the building, go out to the practice field and work hard, do your lifts and do what you're supposed to do, you should not be here. This is a job. We are getting paid a whole lot of money. There are a lot of people that watch us and invest their time and their money into buying our jerseys and buying a whole bunch of and they care about it. They care every single week. We're in week 16 and we're 4-11. And there's fans that watch this game, that show up to the stadium, that put in time and energy and effort and care about this. So if you can't go out there and you can't work out, you can't show up on time, you can't practice, you can't want to go out there and win, you shouldn't be here. Because this is a privilege. It's the greatest job in the world. You get to go out and play a game. And if you can't care enough, even in week 17, even when you're trash, when you're 4-11, if you can't care enough to go out there and give everything you've got and try your hardest, that's bullshit. So that's how. There are people every week that still tweet you, that still come up to you and say, hey, we're still rooting for you. We're still behind you. They have no reason whatsoever to. We stink. But they care, and they still want to win, and they still want you to be great. That's why. Those people aren't getting paid. We're getting paid handsomely. That's why. And that's who I feel the most bad for is our fans and the people who care so deeply in this city and the people who love it and who truly want it to be great. And it's not. And that sucks as a player to know that we're not giving them what they deserve.
I like it. It's exactly what needed to be said.
Yeah.
Because you got that smirk on your face, but go back to when the Chiefs suck. And it's at the end of the year. Who was still there pulling for him? You. Your piddly ass was still there pulling for him when they sucked before they got Andy Reid, before they got Mahomes.
Yeah.
You were still there. This is he was speaking to that person.
Yeah.
Who still cared. Even though you knew you got sucked, you were still watching and you were still defending.
Still angry.
And that's what he was doing right there. You're not a Texans fan. You love the Texans, but you're not a big fan like you're a Chiefs
fan. I'm not
fan.
Emotionally invested into the Texans. I like to see the Texans do well, and I think that's what helps me cover them is the fact that I'm not emotionally invested, so I don't look at things through an emotional lens when it comes to the Houston Texans. But I guess it's one of them things where with JJ, I mean, it was only a matter of time before he said that.
But without that, those people who have that passion, who always come, who always cheer for the Houston Texans,
yeah,
who are big fans, you start dropping off. You start losing them.
No, I think you certainly have to a degree this year. I mean, I think with Bill O'Brien, okay, with Bill O'Brien, by getting rid of him, yes, you brought back some element of the fans, right? Because you had a group of fans that were just irritated, that just weren't going to watch. They'd had enough. I mean, to me, I've always maintained, I felt like the DeAndre Hopkins trade was the crescendo of the Bill O'Brien era. All right, when you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of donuts,
crescendo, does that mean downslide?
That was it. That was the top. That was of the baffling moves that he made. That move there was the kind of the final straw.
Okay.
For everybody, I think. When you saw, now again, if he gets some people back that are worth a damn, you know, if you get some first round picks,
he did.
As a result of that, yes. I mean, if you'd have thought, you know, if you'd have gotten a Stephon Diggs like. Hall, and then turn around and draft somebody like a Justin Jefferson.
Did not.
Which none of that happened, yeah. Right? That's why in Minnesota it's not such a big deal that you got rid of Stephon Diggs. A, because you got decent value. I mean, you got good value back
great
for
value
him.
Back.
And B,
you had the guy sitting on the bench there.
And you replaced him with a guy who's ultimately going to be better than him.
There you go.
You could argue is as good as him right now in Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson is what, well, I know going into the weekend, had the eighth most receiving yards in the National Football League. Okay? So, I mean, that tells you a lot. I mean, whereas with the Texans, that did not happen. All right? And so with JJ, I mean, it was, I'm not going to say I expected this at some point, but you knew it was only a matter of time before JJ was going to go off, because he's already done it a couple times this year. I mean, the frustration has been, this is now the second go-round for him where this team's been bad.
Hey.
You know, I mean, he had to ride out the end of the Kubiak era where they were garbage. Now he's going through it again.
And we're bringing Kubiak back.
Well.
that's my coach.
I know
that's my coach coming back.
I know that's the guy you want. Coming up next, your thoughts on what JJ had to say. Does that change how you feel about the Texans at all? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. I think we already know what the issues are with this Houston Texans football team. But when we return, three things that we did not like about yesterday's ball game against the Cincinnati Bengals. John B. on the 1-2s.
And three.
That's Henry Thomas. I'm still that guy, Fred Davis. Don't you go anywhere. It's The Bench on a Monday.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. We are the HD Show. We're filling in for The Bench. That's Fred Davis. I'm Henry Thomas. You know how we do. Talking a little craziness, like always. Dropping a little fire, trying to let you guys understand. And hey, John B, is this coming out of my check?
You might want to talk to David Gow about that one.
I would argue the design is flawed.
It is, most definitely.
And I'm no welding expert, but for all my welders out there, what's a little when you got to hit that one little spot?
Do you think it's the design, or do you think he's just got more strength than he knows?
No, I know how much strength I got.
All that NFL strength.
It's there on occasions.
That's it.
You got to get the right lighting.
It's like a Drew Brees throw. Every now and again, it comes back, and you're reminded why he was so great for such a long time.
I just broke a mic stand, people. So,
well, like I said, I go back to the design flaw. I mean, you got this one little, and again, I don't know, welding tack or whatever it's called, but you've got one little spot there that holds this entire thing up, and I don't see how that's supposed to, with any kind of certainty or any kind of security or stability.
Well, I'm sure they're going to rethink it at this point.
I've heard they've broke a few of these things already.
It looks like it's been welded before, so.
Well, there you go. About to get welded again. about to get welded again.
I think they set me up for failure.
No, they did. They did. They did. Could be some racism involved. Who knows? Who knows? I'm sure we'll file some sort of complaint.
Don't worry. I got that card in the
holster. I know you do. I know you do. How come the black guy's microphone doesn't work, huh? Huh? What's that about? What is that about? All right, three good things, three bad things that we saw from yesterday. Can I get some, I need some bad music, though. Not bad in a bad way, but I just need some bad music. Because this is going to be three bad things from yesterday's ball game that jumped out at us in the Texans' 37-31 loss. And there's so many to go through, and we don't want to, you know, we don't want to beat this thing up.
No.
25 years right there. 25 years.
Got it.
All right. You ready? All right. My bad. You ready? My first one?
Yeah.
My first bad is the and like I said, there's nothing profound here. Texans run defense. Texans run defense yesterday, not that it's ever any good, but yesterday it was especially bad. Considering what they gave up to both. And really, you could say just in general, though. I mean, I could say the whole defense, but I mean, Samaje Perine looked like he was running against Kansas back in 2014, which isn't a good thing. As a group, 33 carries for 169 yards. Like I said, Samaje Perine, 13 carries for 95 yards, two scores, including a 46-yard run in the second half. Samaje Perine.
Oklahoma. Oh, I thought that was the cookie.
That too. Giovanni Bernard, after having a great game on Monday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had 16 carries for 65 yards. Also had a couple catches out of the backfield yesterday to the tune of 7 catches for 66 yards. So over 130 yards from or total offense from Mr. Bernard. And again, these are your second and third string running backs for the Cincinnati Bengals, whereas they looked like, again, Icky Woods in his prime against the Houston Texans yesterday.
Well.
Oh, by the way, Brandon Allen. 29 of 37, 371.
I want to stay with that theme and just say,
Brandon Allen.
I want to say my bad is tackling, because there's some opportunities to stop people where they touch the ball, and they ended up with 12 more yards. Are you kidding me? A lot of Ole tackling, a lot of I don't want to get hurt tackling. Come on, man. It's, you know, it was horrible.
Is that where, when you see that Ole tackling going on like that, it's where guys, they just have no desire. They know the season's almost over, and they want no part of trying to.
You know what? Those are the guys that I have to say JJ was talking to.
Okay.
Those are the guys.
That would explain it.
If you got no desire to be here, if you don't want to, I don't care what the record is. I have an opportunity to shine at my profession. I'm not backing off, is what he's saying. And those are the guys he's talking to, the guys that went in there with arm tackles, flying by, just reaching out. You know, guys went in with their head down, couldn't bring their arms around because they dropped their arms to the side. Those guys is what are the people he's talking about. And it was a lot of missed tackles. And tackling is
fundamental.
85% up here.
It is, right?
You want to get him down, it's in your mind.
But that's been an issue. But you know what? That's been an issue with this Texans defense. And again, like I said, we're not breaking new ground here, but that's been an issue with this Texans defense all year long, is that they've just not been able to tackle people.
That's true. And it was ugly. It was. It
but
really
what does that
shined.
Mean? But let me ask you this. What does that... As somebody who had over 1,000 career tackles in his NFL career, all right, obviously you know a thing or two about wrapping up and how to tackle somebody. When you look at what this Texans team has done, and it's not just the D-line, okay? We're talking about secondary. We're talking about linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, outside of Terrell Adams and Zach Cunningham, you know, and again, JJ, who's had his struggles this year too.
Right.
Which, again, he's got the pelts on the wall, so he can say what he wants to say.
Exactly right.
What do you liken or what do you attribute bad tackling to? I mean, it's got to go back to coaching, correct?
Goes back to coaching. You gotta preach tackling. You don't always have to practice tackling, because in today's NFL, it's difficult. With the no pads and all, it's tough to teach tackling.
In the NFL?
Live in the NFL in the practice setting, because they're not in pads a lot.
Okay.
They're protected a lot. And you don't want to get anybody hurt. But you got to preach tackling, just like you preach taking care of the ball. Don't don't fumble. Don't right. do anything, you know.
5 points of contact.
Okay. It's that kind of coaching that keeps it on your mind, keeps you doing it. When you keep saying, take care of the ball, take care of the ball, don't fumble, hold it up tight, yeah. high and tight. Same thing with tackling. You got to stress tackling.
Yeah.
And with them not being able to practice it, stressing it means I'm going to get this guy down no matter what.
But what does it say about in week 16, you're still seeing guys just oleing, getting oleed and just not even. I mean, is week 16 more about at this stage of the game, if you're not tackling, it just has more to do with the fact that you just don't care and you're just not trying?
That's what I said. JJ's talking to those guys.
Because he saw enough, bro. He saw enough tackle. Because he saw enough missed tackles and enough arms yeah. just getting thrown out that he saw yesterday. He's like, oh, these dudes just legitimately just don't care.
Oh, yeah. They're packed up. Their cars are packed. They already sent their families back to the home. We only got one more week, so when I leave here,
I'm out.
I'm a party. Then I'm gonna come home.
masks on, of course.
Of course, mask on. And then, because I've been fortunate enough to only been in maybe two or three seasons where
it was this bad.
That it was bad like this, and that you're struggling for something. But every game, I don't care. I knew we were out of the playoffs. Sparkling. You want to see a light on this team? Hey, it's right there. Who's that guy in the middle? Man, I feel and understand what JJ was getting at.
He's still sparkling out there. At least he's still trying to anyway.
Yes,
he is still trying to anyway. All right. So we're both in agreement that the defense was piss poor. I didn't think the run defense was all that great. Again, no big surprise there. You did not appreciate the tackling attempt. And somebody with over 1,000 career tackles, he knows a tackle when he sees it. My bad. No, it wasn't my bad, but my bad choice. Lord knows I've made plenty of them. The RPO decision in the first half with Deshaun Watson. All right, and I get it. He ran in and scored a touchdown.
What's your bad on?
Deshaun is the only thing on this football, and no disrespect to J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt could retire on Sunday. We'd call his career great. We'd thank him for what he's done.
Wait for the
Hall and he'll of have fame. Exactly. We'll wait for the Hall of Fame. We'll wait for the statue that's going to be outside. Maybe it's him riding that bull. Who knows? But the most prized possession you have on this franchise, and the reason why guys like Mark Dominic, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers, former ESPN analyst, GM, tweeted out yesterday that somebody asked him, what's the most appealing GM job out there? And he said the Texans because of Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
Okay? Like, Deshaun Watson, I for my money, and let me just, you know, if the hat doesn't say it, I don't know what does. Deshaun Watson should be the MVP. Deshaun Watson should be, and this is, I'm not saying this to be hyperbolic. I'm not saying this to endear myself to Texans fan. Deshaun Watson should be the MVP of the National Football League when you look at what this guy has done with this football team by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's a team game. There's 53 guys, obviously, and, you know, I know the old adage, well, you know, when we say quarterback versus quarterback, well, they're going to play the defense. I get all that, okay? Enough with all that. Number four, doing what he's done with guys who, outside of Brandon Cooks,
yeah,
are depth guys on an NFL roster. Because right now you have maybe a handful on this entire team that would be starters for another NFL football team.
Wow.
Because
it's true.
It's right.
Yeah.
Because right now there's nobody on that, outside of J.J. Watt, there's nobody on that defense that would start for another NFL football team. Maybe Cunningham.
What about Reed?
John, who, the safety?
Yeah.
I wouldn't start him in an HEB commercial. That's John Belmer. That's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. 1 hour in the books, boys and girls. Second hour coming up. We'll put a bow on the things that we didn't like. And then, of course, we'll dive into some of the things we did. We'll take a look at the NFL playoff picture. So much to get to. Your thoughts and more. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.